be with you.
And with your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her, Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, this is your son." Then to the disciple he said, "This is your mother." And from that moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. The Gospel of the Lord. The readings today tell us very beautiful things. We see Elijah praying on Mount Carmel, and St. Paul telling us that the great moment God sent his son, born of a woman. In other words, it was because of Mary, because of a woman, that Jesus could be one of us. One of our race, because he was born of a woman. The great importance of our Blessed Mother. And then the gospel is the scene on Calvary, where Jesus gave to John, the beloved disciple, the symbol of the church, "Behold your mother." So these three readings tell us a lot about the meaning of today's feast. Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But I'd like to give maybe a bit of a history, a background to this feast and to the meaning of the scapular. You know, when Christopher Columbus was coming to America in the Pinta, the Nona, and the Santa Maria, every night, as it began to get dark, all those on the ship gathered around the statue of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Because going into the night, she was the Stella Maris, the star of the sea. She would guide them through the darkness and through the night. And then in the morning, when they woke up and it was bright, they would gather, and the hymn they sang was, "Blessed be the light of day, and he who sends the night away." When Vizcaino came up, this first exploration here of the west coast of California, there was on board three Carmelite priests, and the statue of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Our Lady was to guide and protect them on that journey. And you might remember that the first Mass said here in California was in San Diego by the Carmelite priests, and then at Santa Catalina Island, and then in Monterey. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, they brought the statue onto the land under a great oak tree, and there they celebrated a Mass of Thanksgiving with Our Lady present. Later on, as you know, Father Saint Junipero Serra said Mass under that same oak tree, and he recalled the Carmelite fathers who had said Mass there with the statue of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Now, that first reading spoke about Mount Carmel. It's a mountain range in the north of Israel. and it was a sacred place. It actually was sacred even in prehistory times. There's something sacred about it. And they found like relics and even human bones there, you know, showing that it was a sacred place. And of course, monks lived there. But it was especially because of its relationship to Elijah the prophet, who prayed there and who was a man of tremendous zeal and dedication to God, to the one God. There was always that reverence for that mountain range. And at the time of Saint Francis of Assisi, he brought back into the church a tremendous interest in the sacred humanity of Jesus. We see that in him establishing the crib, and then when he received the wounds of our Lord. But through Francis, there was a great desire then to go to the Holy Land, to visit the places where Jesus had walked and lived. And unfortunately, one of the head Muslims stopped those pilgrimages. And that ultimately led to the Crusades, where the European Catholic monarchs went to the Holy Land to try to win it back for the Christians, and which they did. Now, on those Crusades, you had the soldiers. You also had pilgrims. And when they got to the Holy Land, some of them stayed there instead of returning home. And they went to the sacred places associated with the Lord. And a group of hermits, this was a great time of hermits in Europe, that group of hermits stayed on Mount Carmel as hermits. Now, there had been, from the Greek or the Eastern Orthodox, monks living on Mount Carmel. But these crusaders, who were Westerners, they lived in a little wadi, little valley there on Mount Carmel. And they tried to imitate Christ praying to the Father, praying for the church. And eventually, as the Muslims began to reclaim and regain the Holy Land, hermits from different parts of the Holy Land began to go into Mount Carmel. And the hermits there realized, we better get a rule that tells what's our specific place in the church and how we are imitating Christ in a special way. And so the Bishop of Jerusalem gave them a rule of life. That's why Carmelites always have a great respect for the local bishop, whoever he is. And they got this rule, we call it the primitive rule, and they met together for Mass. They lived as hermits in separate cells, but they got together for Mass in an oratory that they had built. And that oratory was dedicated to Our Blessed Mother, to Our Lady. And that was why those hermits, and some of them later left there, went back into Europe, and eventually when in 1291 the Muslims conquered the whole land and massacred a number of the hermits there, so they had to flee into Europe. But in Europe, they were known as the Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. That was how they were known and recognized. And they carried with them that great love for Our Lady and that memory of her. Now, while they were in the Holy Land, they saw Mary as the patrona, the patron, the patroness, because they saw that the Holy Land belonged to Jesus, and Mary was his mother. And in that medieval concept, they saw that she was all-powerful because of her access to Jesus. She could speak to our Lord about them. She could be their protector. And so they saw her as the mother of our Lord, who was Lord of the Holy Land. But then when they had to leave Mount Carmel, and also with those who had gone before them back to Europe, that idea began to fade, because now the Holy Land was in the hands of the Muslims. And so they began to change a little their idea of Our Lady, and they began to see her as the Immaculate One. And the Carmelites were great defenders of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. They began to see her, as fulfilling what our Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," And as contemplatives, as people of prayer, that was their idea, to see God. And Mary then was the one who personified most beautifully the one of the pure of heart, not only in terms of morality and of sexuality, but that she had an undivided heart that was totally consecrated to the Lord. Because the men had to become friars now, not hermits. They had to live in the European cities. And they began to be like mendicant friars, like the Dominicans and the Franciscans. And they were known, as the Brothers of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And at first, the Carmelites themselves, saw that there was a little chapel they lived in. There were brothers dedicated to her on Mount Carmel. But gradually they began to see another aspect to that title, that Mary was their sister. And whatever about your relationship with your sister, you're not afraid of her. They began to see that very beautiful relationship, that Our Lady was their sister, to part of their family. And that's a very beautiful title, that we may have forgotten. It's a reminder that Our Lady herself is a member of the church. She is one of us. She is redeemed by Christ. She is not God. She is not our Savior. She's one of us saved by our Lord. And when we call her sister, it's reminding us of that. And so that idea began to creep into the Carmelites. But during the first 150 years when they were there in Europe, in England and France, Cyprus, Malta, I think, but various places, they began to be persecuted. The local clergy didn't accept them too well. There were these weirdos from the East, a very strange kind of habit they had at the time. And they said, they're not an old order. They're just a new order. They're just kind of fly-by-nights. And they weren't really well accepted. And were very much in danger of being suppressed. And it was in that context that Simon Stock, the general of the order at this time, turned to Our Blessed Lady and said, you are our mother. You've protected us and you love us. We need your help now. And Our Lady appeared to Simon and gave him the scapular, which actually at that time was the apron that the friars used to keep their habits clean, But now she gave it to them with a whole new significance, a whole new meaning. She was letting them know she was their mother, clothing her children. And that's one of the great things that a mother has to do. Even as soon as the baby's born, in those days, the swaddling clothes, but another name for diapers, clothing the baby. And then as the child grows, different clothes. So when Our Lady gave the scapular, which is basically clothing, it's nothing else, nothing fancy about it. It's a piece of cloth. But it's a symbol of clothing that Mary is the mother taking care of her child. And when we accept the scapular and when we wear it, we are saying we are children of Mary. She is our mother. And consequent to that, she's our teacher, and we will try and model our lives on Our Lady. See, we will try to imitate her, especially in her faith, her great trust in God and in God's word, and her love of God and her love of our neighbor. And she brought great blessings and great graces to the Carmelite order and protected it. And eventually the Holy Father gave full approval, complete approval to the Carmelite order. Now it was equal to the Dominicans, the Franciscans, and others. And again, that's why in Carmel there's such tremendous love for the Pope, whoever he is. We're always, I think, the last to criticize him. But we always have such reverence for the local bishop and for the Pope. It's part of our history and part of our gratitude to Our Lady for all that she has given us through the Pope in Rome, and especially, I say, in the Holy Land through the Bishop of Jerusalem. Because of the great graces and the influence of all those Carmelites, women began to want to share in that spiritual patrimony, of having a special relationship to Our Lady. And the Carmelite nuns began to be founded. And then the secular order of Carmelites, as more lay people wanted to share in the benefits and graces of this Carmelite order. And then eventually the rest of the laity, let us wear the scapular. In that way, we will be united with the Carmelite order in some way, and we will share then in Our Lady's protection. And they were guaranteed, if you wear the scapular, it means you will be imitating Our Lady. And if you do that, you who pray to her now and at the hour of our death, you can be quite sure she'll be there with you at the hour of your death. And if you need help afterwards in purgatory, she'd be there very quickly to help bring you to heaven to our Lord. So the devotion to the scapular then began to spread very much, throughout the church. And another little aspect began to develop, that not only was Our Lady our mother, but she was our queen. Queen Beauty of Carmel. And that was a time then when the idea of kings and the divine rights of kings and the powers of kings, like Henry VIII and Philip II in Spain, the Emperor Charles, the dominant feature of Europe at that time were the kings. And the realization, Jesus is king, Christ the king, and his mother is queen. Again, and she's all powerful because of her son. And that's why St. Teresa of Avila, you might remember, she was 10 when her mother died, and she went to the statue of Our Lady and said, "Now you be my mother." So she's always conscious that Our Lady is her mother, that she's wearing the habit of Our Lady, that she's wearing the uniform, like the protecting armor of Our Lady Queen. And in her writings, St. Teresa most often talks about Our Lady as Her Majesty, See, it's Her Majesty, the Queen, Queen of Carmel, Queen of the Church. And that became very, very much part of Europe. And I've mentioned before that when I came to America, that's 55 years ago, a thing that surprised me most was that Americans didn't refer to Our Lady as, see, I even still use it, as Our Lady, which in Europe, no, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, different Our Ladies, you know, Our Lady of Knock, Our Lady of Dublin, Our Lady of Ireland. You see, because as Europeans, we had that influence of the importance of the king. But here in America, what does the King of England mean? Crazy King George, who was a tyrant. Thank God we got rid of all that junk of kingship and stuff. Here in America, I was so impressed. And so it was always Our Blessed Mother. And you find so many Americans, that's how they would describe Our Lady now, as Our Blessed Mother. And what was happening then was that that way of seeing Our Lady, you know, as the world expanded, the church beyond Europe, you know, as Our Blessed Mother. And when St. Therese, who was really the most wonderful example of what it means to be a Carmelite, she again, her mother died when she was 4, and she turned to Our Lady, to Our Blessed Mother, to help her, to be her mother. And Mary appeared to her in the statue and smiled and cured her. And then St. Therese entered. Where did she enter? With this great love for Mary. The Carmelites in Lisieux. She then wore the habit of Our Lady, the scapular of Our Lady, and had that tremendous love for her and that sense of Mary protecting her. And we saw the other day how important Mary was to St. Therese. But as she was dying, just about a month before she died, one of the nuns asked her, "Is Mary our queen?" She said, "Yes." "Is she our mother?" "Yes." "But she's more mother than queen." You see, and Therese was bringing back into the order that original idea that our first relationship with Mary is as our mother. And I'd just like to mention the images or the statues that we have of Mary, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Many of them, and most of them, she is sitting down. She is a mother at home with her child. Others, like the one in the chapel here, Our Lady is standing. But still you see her holding Our Lord in her arms, the mother, and holding Him close to her head, because it's that tenderness that is there between them. And she's giving the cloth, the scapular. And there's a very interesting detail that I noticed. In the statue on Mount Carmel in the Holy Land, we have an image of that up at Mount St. Joseph here in San Jose. That the tenderness of Our Lady for Our Lord is there, and the clothing. But also her foot is visible. See, that was a development in the paintings and statue of Our Lady. It's showing her humanity, you see, that she has a body like us, that she is one of us. And you will notice in the statue here, I say you have Our Lady with her head close to Jesus, that tenderness of the mother for her child, her first child, and then they're giving the scapular. You'll also notice that her foot is showing. But that she's human. You know, now we can go to her. that really that idea of our sister is still prevalent in the order and very, very precious way of going to her. But you'll also notice that in these statues she's wearing a crown, as is our Lord. You know, he is the Lord of the universe, and Mary is crowned queen of heaven and earth. So she is there as queen, but the predominant and the most strong image of Our Lady is that she's the mother of Jesus and our mother. And as like St. Therese, when she was asked, we would answer the same. Yes, she's queen and mother, but more mother than queen.